And I forgot to mention that in the back of the seat that's in front of you, there's a communication card. And if you would, if you'd take one of those cards and fill it out and put any prayer requests that you have on the back lines, Terry Stalls, would you make sure that you're at that back door, and we'll collect them at the end of the service. As you're leaving, you can just drop those cards in the offering bag and they'll get to me. We have our annual picnic is May 31st, and that's the day that we're going to have some baptisms that day in the lake. We have about 10 people signed up to be baptized, and so if you're interested in being baptized, if you've come back to Jesus, or if you've given your heart to Jesus for the first time, you need to follow the Lord in baptism. And so I encourage you to do that, and so put that on the card somewhere, I want to be baptized. I've written a little article, and I'll just email it to you about what baptism is, what it's all about. So it explain it all to you and give you scriptures with that. Amen. Without further ado, we want to introduce this blessed couple and let them take their time and just minister to you and love on you. Amen. Pastor Terry Bailey. Thank you, guys.
Use this one. Good morning. It's so good to be in church today. Amen. It's been raining ever since we left Nashville. Come over here. But we're delighted to be here. You're the first church that's done something for our new office building. I want to thank you for doing that. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. You know, the Lord has really helped us to, in many ways, but I've been superintendent for 4 years. I was here 3 years ago, March of 2012, when Pastor Art transitioned you to be a fully sovereign Assembly of God church. That was wonderful. That was a great day. And I remember that day, and it's just a wonderful thing for you, and to see the life and the health, and this is just a great church. I told Susan, I told her yesterday, I said, look, you got to get ready. This is a really good church. Because, you know, we go to some churches and they're not really all that good. I mean, you know, you love them all, but when you go into a church that's alive and happening, you like it. You like it a whole lot. And it's so good. You got the greatest pastors. Eric and Trevor, wonderful pastors. Thank the Lord for them. I've known his brother Carl for many years, but I never had a chance, but just these last few years, to get to know Eric just a little bit. And so, such an honor. And how honored it is to see Bud and Sue Husbeth this morning. And so, we love you, Bud. And just to be here with you and get to know you a little bit better, you get to know a little bit more about us. Thank you for giving to our office. When we get that office building built, we're hoping that we're laying brick right now. We hope to be in by September or October or something like that. But the Lord's helping us. When we get that building built, it's going to be totally paid for, cash, debt free. And that's a great miracle. The Lord's helped us in the last 4 years. We've cut the debt in half. When I came in as superintendent, we were at $5.3 million. We've got it down to about just under $2.5 million. The Lord's helped us in the last 4 years. We're on a 5-year plan to become totally debt free. That way we can totally devote ourselves to planting churches, amen, planting new churches, and investing so that every church in Tennessee can be like Bridge of Hope. Wouldn't it be great if every church was healthy and great like this church right here? It would be a huge blessing. It would make this job so easy. Matter of fact, I think I could probably be on Easy Street if I could have it all like this. But anyway, this is not my daughter. This is my wife. We've been married for 41 years. And this is mine. And she's my very best friend, and we travel together and live together and love together and we're okay. All right. I'm gonna let her testify for a few minutes, okay, and then we'll get into the scripture.
Thank you, Pastor, for having us. And the first thing that I want to thank God for today is that we're here alive. Okay, so like when we get up this morning, we're about ready to leave. Terry runs upstairs and he says, "Oh, I've got to do one other thing." Goes to his office and somehow his PowerPoint thing wasn't working. So we're like, he's stressed when we get in the car. We're kind of behind. Then we get on interstate and it is literally raining so hard at some points that we can't even see. The only time we can see the taillights of the people in front of us is when they put on brakes. And he's like flying still in the left-hand lane. And then we come to this bridge that's completely out. So we have to do this. It's like expect long delays is what the little sign says. So I was like sitting there just praying, "God, just keep us alive." So I'm just thankful to be here in one piece. And so I was stressed. And you know how it is, you've had things happen on Sunday morning. You're trying to get to church, and by the time you get there, you're just frazzled. And so I'm standing there waiting for him to get out of the bathroom, and then you started leading that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I was just out in the lobby just raising my hands. And then when you sang the one about God's our shield, he's our everything. He's our absolute everything. And all that went away, and all that stress, and that's what the presence of God does to us. I want to give a brief testimony. I don't know if I shared anything with you the time that we were here last time, but did you know that we all go through seasons in our lives, just like we have to go through seasons, you know, the winter, the spring, the summer, and the fall? As people and as Christians, we go through seasons in our lives as well, and some seasons are good, and some are not so good. And Terry and I guess, have been going through quite a difficult season for maybe the last year or two. And his mom died back in August of Alzheimer's, and she didn't know us for the last few years, and that was very difficult. And then his brother was actually sentenced to life in prison this past year because he murdered a 29-year-old woman, and that's been absolutely devastating for our family. And we've also been believing God for a grandchild for years. And it's been a very difficult and struggle that we've gone through. I can tell you that we now have a four-month-old little grandson. He's the joy of our life. And God has just, I turned 60, and then 3 days later, that little fellow was born. So it's like, who cares if I'm 60? It doesn't make a bit of difference in the world. And so, you know, we have, you know, we all go through these times in our lives, and they're difficult, and we don't understand why. But I've learned that the times that I have grown the most is in those difficult seasons of my life. They're necessary. But one thing you need to remember, that although these seasons are necessary, no season is permanent. So if you're in a difficult season right now, I promise you it won't last forever. And, you know, I found out that just learning to trust God in those seasons, and instead of fighting the season, just learn to embrace it and let God teach you whatever he wants to teach you during that time. And I can assure you that God is always faithful. Always faithful. If he says in his word that he's going to do something, he gave me scriptures that he was going to give us this grandchild. And I'm telling you, we had every other indication from what the doctors were saying that it was not going to happen. But I can tell you that if he says it in his word, he will perform it. And I just want to encourage you, you know, Terry's, I'm an encourager. You know, other people, they, somebody's got to preach fire and brimstone or whatever, but it's not going to be me. God's called me to be an encourager, and I just want to encourage you this morning that whatever you're going through, that God is faithful, he remains faithful, and in whatever season you're in, embrace it and learn what God wants you to learn. Thank you.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Did that PowerPoint, did it come up or what?
It's good.
All right. That is a miracle. I got up this morning and I didn't have Pastor Eric's email. I was going to email it to him so anyway, I said, well, I'll just download it on my little zip drive, whatever those things are, little things, you know, what you call them out. So anyway, and when I downloaded it, the font size came up different than what I was looking for. So I was just kind of having a tough time getting that together. So, and I'm not techie at all. I mean, you're looking at somebody that I was one of the last ones to go to computer, but I'm in it now. And, but every once in a while, I want to go back to a notepad and a pencil. It's just less complicated. So anyway, I want to take us this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of Corinthians is an incredible book. It's a difficult book. It's the Apostle Paul writing to a church at Corinth. There were some very serious issues in the church there at Corinth. The church was having difficulty comparing themselves to one another. It was a church that had a lot of immorality, had a real serious immorality problem in the church, and then among certain ones, and then but it was also a very immature church. It was a church that was abusing the gifts. It was a church that was just was not being respectful of the Lord's Supper. There's just a lot of things going on in the church at Corinth that kind of. Of course, that doesn't. I'm talking about another church on another part of Tennessee. Okay, I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope this morning, but the church in Corinth was a real challenging church, and Paul writes this letter, and he gets to the end of his second letter, and if you'll go to Corinthians 13 verse 4, if you go to the next slide there, I think it's got it up there. Yes, it does. It says he ends up this second letter to the church at Corinth. By giving this verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning. I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I do feel like the Lord laid this on my heart. I want to just give it to you. And that is, there are three mistakes that the devil has made about your faith. Three mistakes that the devil has made about your faith. And we're going to dive right on into this verse here in just a moment. But the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He's not your friend. He's not your buddy. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture says for us to resist him. We're to resist him. Don't listen to his temptations. Temptations come to every one of us, whether we're a young person or we're a parent or a mother or father or grandparent, no matter what age of life we're at, temptations are real. You'll face temptations today. And it may be various types of temptations, but these temptations are very, very real. I take you back to Sunday, December the 7th, 1941. Anybody was alive in 1941? Oh, there's a few that was alive that was here in 1940. Okay. Those of you that are history majors or that know your history, you know that on December the 7th, 1941, that was Pearl Harbor Day. That was an horrific day in American history. When Japanese bombers came and they attacked our base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And they just wreaked all kinds of havoc on Pearl Harbor. It was Pearl Harbor, that incident, that put us into World War II. Up until that time, we were trying to stay out of it. We were trying to stay away from being involved in World War II and Hitler and Japan and all the things that was going on with in other parts of the world. But Pearl Harbor put us right in the middle of the battle. You know, the truth of it is, you're in a battle. Every one of you are in a fight. There's spiritual warfare. There are things that you encounter in your life as a child of God. Well, Sunday evening, on the evening of Pearl Harbor, Admiral Chester Nimitz was at a concert or something like that in Washington, D.C. And this is before the days of pagers and cell phones and things like that. But somebody got Admiral Nimitz out of the concert and said, "You have a phone call." So he went and got the phone. It was still all hardwired back in those days. And so Admiral Nimitz got the phone call. And on the call, it was Franklin, President Roosevelt. And Roosevelt said, "Admiral, I need for you, effective immediately, to come to take over the battle in the South Pacific." Now, I had when I pastored in Ashland City, which is the last church I pastored, one of my board members was in World War II, and he fought in the South Pacific. His name was Roland Morton. So Nimitz got to the site of Pearl Harbor on Christmas Eve of 1941, and they took him by boat, and they took him around to see all the damage, and it was just a devastating sight. If you could imagine that major ships sunk in the harbor. If you could just imagine the over 3,000 soldiers that lost their life on Pearl Harbor. More people died in Pearl Harbor than died in 9-1-1. That's how big it was. It was a huge, horrific situation. And they took him around. And as they got back off surveying the devastation of this terrible attack by Japan, a helmsman asked Admiral Nimitz, said, "Sir, what do you think about all of this?" And Admiral Nimitz says, "You know, the Japanese made the three biggest mistakes an attack force could have ever made. Either that or God was really taking care of America. So what do you think it was?" And this young soldier says, "What do you mean by saying that the Japanese made the three biggest mistakes an attack force could ever make?" And Nimitz says, "Well, number one, the Japanese attacked on Sunday morning when our crewmen, most of them, were on shore on leave for the weekend. If those same ships had been lured out to sea and sunk, we would have lost 38,000 men instead of 3,800 men. Mistake number two, when the Japanese saw all those battleships lined up in a row, they got so carried away sinking those battleships, they never once bombed the dry docks. It was the dry docks that they needed so they could take the ships for repair. But as it is, instead of having to take all those ships now back to the States, we can now repair some of them right here." That's mistake number two. Mistake number three. Over there, if you will look over there just 5 miles from here on that hill, every drop of fuel of the Pacific Theater of War is in those storage tanks. If the Japanese had sent one attack plane over there to Strathnow those fuel tanks, they would have destroyed the entire fuel supply. That's why I believe they've made three critical mistakes. You see, when Roosevelt picked Nimitz, he knew what he was doing. Let me tell you something. As a Christian today, as a child of God, you've got a Trinity that's at your beckoning. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, on earth, we've got the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and the Coast Guard, and thank God for that. I appreciate so much our security and what we have in the military of the United States. But the Trinity goes far beyond all the forces of America combined. And just like Admiral Nimitz, you may have wondered why God placed you where you're at. But I'm here today to tell you that there's three really big mistakes that the devil has made about your faith. Number one, these three things that we're going to go through this and we're going to wrap it up. The first mistake that the enemy made about your life is underestimating the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Underestimating God's grace. You see, it had to be nothing but the grace of God. Because if the Japanese had attacked on any day besides Sunday, it would have been 10 times worse. But they attacked on the day in which the casualties, even though 3,800 is terrible, terrible devastation, it happened on the Lord's day. You see, the devil's a master of luring Christians to stay out of church. He'll give you every excuse in the book why it's not a good time and a good place to go to church. But on the Lord's day is where we need to be. Because it's at the Lord's house we receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ every time we get together with a body of believers. I like what Susan said when she testified. When we're standing out there and you could hear that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And you could come in here and there's a spirit of praise and a spirit of worship in the house this morning. I want to tell you, I can't wait to get to church on Sunday mornings. How about you? You know, John in the book of Revelation says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Every Lord's day, you need to be in the Holy Spirit. You need to be receiving that grace that has been extended to you. Every time I come into God's house, I get strength. It's that grace. It's in His presence. I get strengthened. Now, I love saving grace. You know, Ephesians says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2:8. I love saving grace. And there's not a sinner in Paris, there's not a sinner in Henry County that is too big of a sinner for the grace of God to save them. Not a sinner too big in this town. And Jesus wants Bridge of Hope to be a church that's reaching every sinner in Henry County. He wants you to extend over into Kentucky. He wants you to go through this part of Tennessee. And He wants you to reach every lost person. Because the grace of God, the mercies of God can change anybody. It doesn't matter what they've done, where they've been, but the grace of Jesus Christ is very real. It can reach any sinner. I love that song, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But see, not only is there saving grace, but there's a keeping grace. There's a keeping grace. See, Paul had this thorn in the flesh. I know some of the guys, you think it was his wife. I don't really know who it was. And if it had been the Apostle Paulette instead of Paul, you might be thinking that it had to be her husband. But Paul, the apostle, he said he prayed 3 times that this thorn in the flesh would be removed from him. And for whatever reason, we don't know. We won't know till we get to heaven. But for whatever reason, this thorn in the flesh was never removed. But what did the Lord speak to him and say? He said, "My grace is sufficient." There's a lot of things in life I don't understand. There's a lot of things I can't figure out. There's a lot of things about how God does it and why He does it and why He allows certain things that I don't have it calculated. But I'm here today to tell you that whether you're having a blue Monday, frustrated Tuesday, a confused Wednesday, a perplexed Thursday, a lonely Friday night, or a desperate Saturday, I'm here today to tell you that grace is on the way, because Sunday's on the way. You can go to God's house and you can experience His grace that'll be for you. Hallelujah. And Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the enemy miscalculates that with us. Because he thinks, you know, if I can just discourage you enough, you'll give up being a Christian. But child of God, don't give up. Hold on. Press forward. Press on. Because His grace is enough. The second miscalculation, the second mistake he's made about your faith is underestimated this love of God. You see, the Japanese, they started sinking all these battleships. They got so carried away about sinking the battleships, they never thought about bombing the dry docks. And it's the dry docks, it's kind of like the love of God. The love of God is our dry dock where we can find restoration. It's a place where we can be repaired. It's where the Lord can bring healing and restoration and help restore us when we get beat up in life. How many ever gets beat up in life? You ever get beat up? Every once in a while you feel like, man, where did this week come from? Why did that take place? I'm here today to tell you that the love of God will keep you. When you feel rejected, downcast, frustrated, beaten up, thinking that nobody cares about you, you just start feeling the mully grubs. I'm here today to tell you that the love of God in your life is unending. You can turn back on your faith. You can forfeit your faith. But you can never get God to stop loving you. For God so loved you. There's nothing you can ever do that will change God's love for you. You can break the heart of God and the hearts of many other people in your life when you make dumb, stupid choices. But you can never stop God from loving you. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The book of Jude, verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Andre Crouch went home to be with the Lord not too long ago. But there was a song that Andre used to sing. You may remember it. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why He cared. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. But I'm glad, so glad He did. We can't begin to comprehend this love of God. You know, there's some people that'll be in your life and they'll say, I love you. In 6 months, they'll walk out on you. But as long as you're alive, you have a God in heaven that says, I love you with an unending love. And that love will keep you through everything you go through in your life. And number three, the devil's third mistake about your faith is underestimating the communion of the Holy Spirit. You see, Japan's third mistake was every drop of fuel in the Pacific Theater of War was on those storage tanks just 5 miles over from Pearl Harbor. One bomber from Japan could have shrapnel and taken out every one of those fuel tanks, and we would have been really trouble, big trouble. You've got a fuel in your life. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the fuel in your storage tank of faith that gives you power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me and to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the fuel in your storage tank of faith that helps you in prayer. Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we don't know when to pray for what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And then the Holy Spirit is the fuel of your storage tank of faith because it builds up your holy faith. In the book of Jude, verse 20 says, but you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit is your fuel. He's your comforter, your helper, your guide, your teacher. He glorifies Jesus Christ. He convicts us of sin. He convinces us of Christ. He gives us the power to witness. And I believe that Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit, is not just for the first century. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is for the 21st century as well. And just prior to the return of Christ, there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to cover all flesh. Amen. And I believe we're part of that. You say, what does the Holy Spirit go from one generation to the next? You see, your Abraham, your first generation, they received that fresh revelation. They blazed the trail. They're revivalists. But then your second generation comes along, the Isaac generation. They ride their father's coattail. They develop the organization and the structure, but they start drifting a little bit. Then your third generation, Jacob, they know the mechanics. They know how to do church. They know how to sing the right songs. They know how to go about it. They know how to go through all the motions. And there's some of us, many of us have been in church long enough, we know how to go through the motions, don't we? You can sing it and your heart be a million miles away. But I'm going to tell you something. Jacob had to wrestle with God so he could become Israel. And I believe every generation has to have their own encounter with the Lord. Our young people will experience the Holy Spirit different than the way we did in classical Pentecostalism. Your grandchildren will experience the Lord in ways that you didn't. But I'm here today to tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit can be real and for every generation. Stay fresh and up to date on the Spirit. Stay energized in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the passion to fulfill the Great Commission. So the devil has made three mistakes, three miscalculations about your faith. And Paul put it in a nutshell in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church here at Bridge of Hope. Lord, I don't know everybody that's here, and I know that there's no perfect churches, and every church has things that we're working through. I know, Lord, that there's a real devil in Paris. I know there's a real enemy in Henry County that wants to discourage and frustrate and try to pull down the saints of God. But I ask you, Lord, today, that grace and love and the communion of the Holy Spirit would rest upon this church, upon the life of every believer connected with Bridge of Hope. While every head is bowed and every eye closed this morning, I don't know what you need from the Lord today, but I'm here today to tell you that I've received from Jesus in this service. I've received from the Lord because His grace has strengthened me this morning. Just being in your service, just being in the presence of God this morning has strengthened me. And that's what happens every Lord's Day at Bridge of Hope. I can't wait to get to church so I can be strengthened and be in His presence and receive what I need. But what do you need today? I don't know. I don't know what your need is. But I know that Jesus is here. I know that Jesus is here. And He's here to meet that need. If you're sick in your body, maybe you need special prayer. Maybe you're under an attack from the enemy for whatever reason. I don't know. But this morning you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to believe with you in prayer. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat right now. Maybe you need healing. I don't know your situation. But if you're here this morning, you just need prayer. I want you to just get out of your seat right now and just come down here to the front. We're going to pray and believe God with you. We're going to wait just a moment. I believe there's some here this morning. You just need some prayer. Need prayer. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we're going to wait. We're going to wait. If you need prayer this morning, you're at the right place. You're in God's house. This is my spiritual service station. I get filled up spiritually. I come to encounter the Lord when I come to church. Hallelujah. He's real. He's real. Whatever you need from the Lord. If you need prayer this morning, just come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. You say, well, Terry, I've been down to that altar 100 times. I tell you what, if you'd followed my track record for the last 60 years, I've gone to an altar thousands of times. I used to go to, when I was a young person, I'd go to the altar every Sunday night just to make sure I was saved. You know. That's before I got a hold of that verse says that he that had begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When I got a hold of that verse, I quit having to go every Sunday night. But if you're here today, you got that nudge. You say, you know what, Terry, I just need some prayer. I need my brothers and sisters to be praying with me. Hallelujah. We're going to wait. I believe there's a few more that need to come. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. You're among family. This is among family. This is kin folks. Here we're in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yeah, there come one. I believe there's another one. Needs to come on. Just come on now. Come on, folks. You need prayer. All right. Now, church, these are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't know what your protocol is, Pastor. I don't want to violate anything at all. But I want, if this is your brother and sister, I want the rest of you to get out of your seat. Come on down here and let's stand. Let's stand around our brother and sister. We're going to pray and believe God this morning. We're going to believe heaven this morning, that God's going to touch them. He's going to do what needs to be done. You know, there's power in agreement. If any two or three shall agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done. We're going to release faith in this place this morning. Let's release our faith and let's believe God for what He's going to do. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we love You. We love You, Lord. We honor You this morning. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that Your grace is sufficient. And I ask You, Jesus, touch Brother Bud Husbeth right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we look to You today, Lord. You are the anchor of our soul. You are the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ that we stand upon. We put our faith and our trust in You this morning. We ask You, Lord Jesus, today, that You would do what no human physician can do. We ask You, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord, touch Brother Bud this morning. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, I pray right now, and I pray in faith in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, for healing. Touch my brother in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We love You this morning. Touch this sister this morning, Lord. Minister to her today in the name of Jesus. Touch this family today. Touch Brother Bud in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, by faith we believe You this morning. Lord Jesus, we put our faith in You. Our trust is in You, Lord. Your word says to trust in You, Lord, with all of our heart. Lean not into our own understanding. In all our ways to acknowledge You, and You shall direct our path. And I ask You, Lord Jesus, today, that You would do what needs to be done in my sister's life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, by faith, we believe You right now. We stand against the adversary of the devil right now. And we bind him in the name of Jesus. And I ask You, Lord, today that there be victory in the name of the Lord. Oh, God, take care of this situation. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I ask my sister right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. I believe You yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ministered by Your Spirit. Have Your way, Lord. Oh, God, we believe You. We put our trust in You, Lord. Oh, Lord, I will be a Lord of the King. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we look to You right now. Lord Jesus, make a way where there seems to be a way. Make a way, oh, Lord, today. We look to You, Jesus. Take care of us. Name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh God, take care of You, Jesus. Lord Jesus. We look to You right now, Lord. Oh God, we stand upon Your word. It's Your word that is true. Lord Jesus, heaven and earth passes away, but Your word never passes away. Lord, we stand. faith this morning, Lord, for the Word of God. We pray, oh God, for confidence in you. We believe you, Lord Jesus, you'll make a way in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we by faith, we believe it for it in the name of Jesus. Oh God, take care of the need. Take care of this need in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe you this morning. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord Jesus. Take care of it, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, we believe you, Jesus. Sing this worship forth with Pastor this morning. Oh God. Believe God for that breakthrough. Hallelujah. Even as I was praying yesterday about today, I don't know who this is for, but this scripture, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile His face on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Number 6, 24 through 26. So whoever's out there for, you just receive it in the name of the Lord. Pastor, I love you much. Thank you for letting us be here.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Great.
Amen. Can we give him a hand for that? Hallelujah.